I want to thank you for each and every one of you coming out. I want to thank you for the gathering this morning up at the Fellowship Hall. Thank you for that. And I thank you for your kindness that you show me and my wife. I really do. And the love that you show to us also. But, you know, I know sometimes I don't express it, but, you know, y'all do know that I do love you. And you know that if there's anything at all I can do or to help you out anywhere at all, I'll do what I can. But this morning I want us to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 12. Here we will. I got a couple, I think it's in Abel. Well, chapter 12 in the book of Isaiah. It's not but six verses, so I'm going to read them all. But if you don't mind, this morning, just for a little while, I'm going to try to bring you, some thoughts on the word, the salvation, which is in verse 3. It says, but in verse 1 in chapter 12 in the book of Isaiah, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comforteth me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done exceedingly things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitation of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Verse 1, it says, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. We need to always remember that we need to be praising the Lord. We don't need to get out here and do anything else, but we just need to praise him. And when we praise the Lord, what we are doing, we're thanking him for being with us through that day, through that week, through that month, and through the life that he has so graciously given us. But we must praise him. And we can praise him, why? Because of salvation. That's the reason I can praise him this morning, is because of the deal of his salvation. That what his son done at Calvary. And also it says down there in verse 6, it says, cry out and shout. Now that cry out means that we must praise the Lord, lift our voices high. And he wants us to shout. He really does. He wants us to shout because that right there is giving him praise. That right there is giving him what he deserves. He deserves our undivided attention every day. And he deserves our shout. He deserves what we have. And the reason he deserves it is because of what his son done for us. And what the Lord Jesus has done. And what God the Father has also done. But sing unto the Lord. God is my salvation. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. We must trust the Lord. Because the reason we can trust the Lord, and the reason I believe that in the book of Isaiah that this right here is put here, and it says right here, it says, behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. We can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of salvation. We get our strength. Why? Through his salvation. And we should not have to worry about anything going wrong in our life. If you're a Christian, if you're saved by the grace of God, it's nothing that is going to go wrong in our lives. Because whatever we do it because Lord has permitted it. And the reason Lord permits the things that goes wrong in our life is to make us stronger, to make our faith stronger. Not to make us weak, but to make us stronger in his word. You know, he brought Israel out of bondage. They was in bondage for so many years. And we really can't even imagine what kind of bondage that they was under. We know what scripture says. But we can't imagine it because we wasn't there. We wasn't in bondage. But at one time, I was in bondage. One time, you was in bondage. Why? Because of the sin of this world. And the sin that was so easily will beset us and everything. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. He has released the Israelites out of bondage. And he said right there, he said, and ye shall see them again no more forever. What he's saying there, right there, he said the Israelites. He is speaking there in the book of Exodus, says, the Israelites, if you just trust me, if you follow me, if you're trusting what the word of God says, you won't have to ever worry about going back to into bondage. The only way that you'll ever go back into bondage is sin. Sin, that's where sin takes us all. Sin will take us back into bondage. But he's given us a way out that we don't have to worry about going back into bondage. And what is that? Confessing our sin unto him and ask him to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He brought Jonah out from the whale's belly. He brought Jonah. Why? Because Jonah defied God. Jonah defied God. God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. God, and Jonah says, nope, not me. I ain't going down there with a bunch of heathens. What he didn't realize, he was just acting like just like the heathens were because he defied God. But he brought Jonah out of the whale. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that thou hast vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Salvation is of the Lord. It didn't say salvation was unto the Baptist church. Didn't say that salvation comes by the way of joining the local church. It did not say that salvation comes by being baptized. It says that salvation did not come by your works and what you do out here. The only way that your salvation comes by is by faith. And what do we have faith in? What should we have faith in? Is the Word of God. Is the Word of God. We must put our total faith in this Bible here. We must put our faith in this. And we'll put our faith in the Word of God right here. We're putting our faith in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We must always remember we need to put our faith where our faith needs to be at. It brought David out of the pit. We can see that over there in Psalms chapter 40 and verse 1. It says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry." This is the psalmist David. Says, I'm waiting, Lord. Lord, I'm waiting. I need an answer now. He waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Verse 2 says, "He brought me up." The key word here is a two-letter word. You know what it is? U-P, up. "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my going. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." He didn't reach down from heaven. He didn't reach down from the top of the pit and reach way down there and grab the hold of my hand and pulled me out. No, he came where I was at. He came in the filth, in the mire of this world. And to this world. And we look at it. It's nothing but filthiness going on. Filthy minds and filthy people all the time. They're abusing the Lord. They're abusing what he has done for them. And they don't realize what he has done for them. Sometimes we don't realize it. We might not even think about it that way. But sometimes we really don't realize it. But he's done so much for me. He's done more for me than I could ever think about doing for him. And I thank him for that. How did that come about? One day he saw me in the pit. One day he looked down from heaven. He saw Donald Mahan in the stench, in the filth of this world. And you knowing I didn't have no
hope at all that I was looking for, and I was, my destination was hell. But it comes to everybody. And he says, I got a way out. I got a way out for you. You don't have to go to hell. If you go to hell, it's going to be your choice. It's not mine. It's not my choice to make. It's your choice to make. Either you want to go to heaven or you want to go to hell. I didn't want to go to hell. Because just thinking of the word hell was bad enough. But then after I got in the Bible and read about what all hell was going to really be like, that was really something. I'm so thankful for him. And he looked down from heaven and he saw me and admired the filth and the stench of this world. And I was covered in sin. And it wasn't nothing but sin. Just like it was a sewage. The sewage that runs all over me. I was covered in sewage. I was covered in the filth of this world. Then the Father said, Son, go on down to that. Go where he's at. He don't have no hope. He don't have no peace. He's in bondage. Go where he's at. And he came down in the filth and the stench of this world where I was at. That's what your verse says, where I was at. But it did not say that he come and he hovered right here above the first heaven, the sky. It didn't say anything about him just hovering up here in the sky and then saving my soul. No. What did he do? He came. He come right where I was at. I was in the pit. I was in that sewage pit of the world. I was in the sewage tank of the world. He says, Father, you know what, Father? You know what that's like now. He said, yeah, I know. Son, you know what you got there? He says, Father, I know what I got to do. Would you just give me the extra strength, the extra willpower to do it? Jesus asked the Father, so many times, said, Father, pray for me. The Lord Jesus Christ is asking the Father in heaven to pray for him. He said, okay, Father, I'm going to go where he's at. He didn't have no ladder to climb down. Only thing he had was the open pit. Did not know how deep it was or anything. And what he done, he just came and he just walked right over and fell into the pit where I was at.
I can't forget about that. That's something that every time they sing, it's a song that they sing. That when they sing the song, it says, it's speaking about where he lift them out of the pit. No, He did not lift me out of the pit. He did not reach down his unlengthly arm and pull me out of the pit. He came, saw me right down the pit. Says, Donnie, says, don't you worry. I'm going to get you out of the pit. This is what we do. I believe he bowed down on his knee. When he did, he took his arms and he put them up under me. And he lifted me. He lifted me up. He lifted me up, but he didn't plant my, he didn't help me to stand up by myself. No, he lifted me up. He brought me out of the pit. With his loving arms wrapped around me. Do you know of anybody else that would do that? Do you know anybody in your family? Or do I know anybody in my family that would be willing to go into the septic tank or the sewage of this world and grab a hold of me and lift me out? I don't have no. I have family, yes. I have family that loves me. But they don't love me like Jesus does. They don't love me like Jesus does. I tell you, Jesus has a special kind, special type of love that nobody else can ever duplicate it. We try. I want to be able to love people like Jesus loved people. But I know that I will never be able to duplicate it here on this earth. Why? It's the word sin. S-I-N. I have sinned. But he is faithful to forgive me and to cleanse me from all of the sin, all of the stench, all of the filth of this world. And when he brought me up out of the pit, I believe that we have the, I believe I have the scripture that back this up on. I believe not only that, but when he took me and when he helped me up to where I could stand straight up, he kissed me on both cheeks. He didn't wait till I got a shower or a bath, anything like that, to get all the stench off. No. He kissed me. All right, bye-bye. See you a little later. We'll be praying for you. You know, I don't understand all of this. All of this is still amazing to me. I just don't understand why a loving God will allow his son that has never done anything wrong. Why his son would want even to come to earth and come in that pit. It says, He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, and it was horrible, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. God, many shall see it and fear, shall trust in the Lord. He has done that for me. He has put a new song in my heart, that it will come out through the sinful lips that I have, that it will praise him and honor him. But you know, all of that Where will it take us? For all what he's done for us, and for all we have accepted him and praised him and looked to him for strength and encouragement. And yes, and where fear comes in, that we can fear God. We need to fear God. We don't need the people just walking around and is a happy-go-lucky all the time. We need to fear God, because if we go around happy all the time, we don't watch it, we can end up back in bondage. We need to fear God that we won't want to go back into bondage. And it will take us all to heaven, as all of this will do. This is what the Word of God will do for each one of us. What this Word of God right here has done for you and me, the same Word of God can do for your family, for your neighbors, for your friend, and for the other people that you don't even know. This Bible right here will show them something they don't have, that they're longing for, that they're longing for. You know, every time I go out, and when I go to like Lowe's or to the mall or whenever, or even to the doctor's office, in the drugstore, in the grocery store, people don't have to tell me. I can look at them, and I can tell that they're hurting. I can tell that they're longing for something that they don't have. But then yet you can go to them and you can ask them. And you can be just as cordial, just as nice as you could to them. And you can ask them, are you saved? Do you go to church anywhere? Oh, I'm saved, but I don't have a regular church to go to. I stay at home sometimes on Sunday, and I'll turn on the TV, and I'll hear preaching on the TV. Ain't that sad? That's sad when they are not willing to even just come and be a part of the fellowship. That's the reason where them preachers are at and where they're on TV. You look at their congregation, Look at our congregation. Their congregation, I mean, it's big. I mean, they don't call them churches no more. They call them mega churches. You know why? Because of the mega money that they draw in. Just like Joel Osteen. He don't know more no God than man in the moon. I don't believe it. Because I mean, according to my word, he don't. He is a feel-good preacher. He's a prosperity preacher. He said, God wants you to have this and he wants you to have that. He wants you to have the finest. When you have Jesus Christ, I believe that you have the best. And I believe that you have the finest that God has to offer. But yet they're looking for something else. Now here's a young man there. He's just in his 40s. You want me to tell you how many millions that he is worth? It's over $50 million. It's what he is worth. He owns a Rolls Royce. He owns a home where it's just him and his wife, and I think it's one or two kids. Over 12,000 square feet. In a home. Where it's just four people. Just four people. You never hear him say anything about it. We need to support missionaries. We need to support the people that we're seeing overseas into the places that where we would not even go. No, he don't support none of them. He don't believe in it. He don't believe in missionaries. He just don't believe in nothing. The only thing that he believes is the garbage that comes out of his mouth. And that's all it is garbage. Now, maybe some of you, y'all may watch him. Y'all may like him, but I tell you, you need to watch him and you need to take your Bible and you need to go down by verse and see what he tells you. Oh, he knows the Bible. He can quote verses in the Bible. He can get deep in some verses. But you know the reason he does that? So he can draw us in. Draw us in. Into his life. I want to ask you something. I want you to think about it. And I want you to answer yourself. You don't have to answer out loud. We know of right many preachers that's on TV. We know some of them. We know some of them that they preach the truth. Even there in Atlanta, Georgia, Charles Stanley. People here in Danville and Dry Fork and the Callens area, there's no telling how much money that they don't send him and his ministry. I had a couple to tell me one time, And y'all know them, but I ain't gonna mention the name. They told me, says, when we get a chance to go to church, we'll get in the car and we'll drive down to Atlanta to hear Charles Stanley. But I want to ask him something. Even Charles Stanley is good a man, and I believe Charles Stanley is a good man. I really do. I believe he's a godly man. I know he is slowly going back to the King James Bible. But can anybody out there in Dry Fork, can anybody in Collins, or can anybody here in the state of Virginia, or can anybody in the world that supports him, sends their tithes and offering to him, if they was to come up and their mother passed away, could they call him and ask him, would he mind coming and holding his mother's funeral? As good a man as Charles Stanley is, I don't believe he could. Why? And I'll tell you the reason why. The reason Charles Stanley couldn't do it, and probably it's not that he don't want to do it, is because he knows he has his own congregation there. And he needs to take care of the people there. You don't go out and ask somebody else to hold the services for your mother or your father or your son or your daughter or something like that. It's way off. I mean, it's not even feasible. Would I do it? No. I wouldn't have the heart to do it. Because first of all, it's going to take money for him to fly here. He got to get an airplane ticket. Then when he gets to Danville, then he's got to run an automobile. That costs money. I mean, that would be just like us. I mean, hey, somebody come by here and say, somebody here said, you know something? Says, you probably don't know it or not, but I've been sending a little money every now and then to your church and everything. Says, but I need a little help from you. I need some money to make sure that I get enough to where I can drive down to Charlotte, North Carolina. That I can go down there and see a family member where their mother has passed away. My heart is breaking for them. My mind is saying, well, Donnie, you know, the church has got the money. We can give them a couple, $200 or $300. Would it be right for me to do that? I don't think so. When the church itself cannot even help the people that's within their own congregation, their own congregation. You know, there's so much to salvation. It's more to salvation than us just going to heaven. Whole lot more than that. Salvation teaches us how to walk straight, how to see things, how to look upon people. salvation is more to it than Jesus Christ just saving us and we got a place there in heaven. See, that's what a whole lot of people think, that they just come and get saved and that's it. I'm saved, I cannot lose my salvation, because preacher, that's what you say. If you're once saved, you cannot lose your salvation. You're right, you can't. But I will say this much, and I think I have a Bible to back me up on it,
that you're not going to come back into an old-fashioned altar and shed some crocodile tears, stand up, and you tell the congregation, God just saved my soul. Oh, yeah, you'd have people raising their hand, and hey, I hope and pray they did. But the test is not coming and asking Jesus Christ to save you. The test is, what will you do the day after? What will you do the day after?
And I believe a true Christian that's been born again, I believe it's God's will for them to be in a local church. I believe it's in God's will for them to be faithful to the local church. I believe it's in God's will for them to tithe and give to the local church. All of that is about salvation. There's some things we don't have to pray about. We don't have to pray about in tithing. We don't have to pray about in offering. We don't have to pray about, should I go to church this Sunday or not? Well, if you don't go to church this Sunday, you just come down last week, and you got saved and everything, but yet you don't come to church Sunday? You said you didn't want to come to church Sunday? It's a good possibility you didn't even get all the way in. It's a good thing that maybe you've got just a little gist of it. Maybe you've got the salvation up in the head, but you don't have it here in your heart. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, I pray that you'll go with each one of us this evening, Father. And Lord, and I pray that you will be with each and every preacher this week, Father. Lord God, I'm praying that, Father, that you'll speak to my own heart. Lord, that we can have an outpouring of the Spirit of God this week. And Father, yes, some people would really want to come up and be saved, not in a head knowledge, but in a heart knowledge. And yes, and they will say, well, preacher, I don't have a church. I don't know of a church to go to. Can I come back here? Oh, Lord, I pray that we can help them. Help them that they need to get in a local church. And yes, Lord, the doors are always open here, just like the altar is. The altar's always open. And the doors are always open for people that just want to come in and worship and praise your holy and righteous name. And Father, they may come in and join the local church. Join us in a body of fellowship. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I've been debating on mentioning it.